Well, you know, one of the main themes of the fall feast is spiritual renewal. And Ath and I designed the appointed times not only to be a reminder of what the great things he did for Israel, but also to provide opportunity for us to revive and refresh us so that we can become renewed for another year. And so if we begin to look upon the fall feast as not just, you know, liturgical feasts or holiday feasts, but there's something much deeper, a deeper message that is found in one of the feasts that we observe them. They have a historical meaning. They have a messianic meaning because Messiah is seen in all the feasts. They have a prophetic meaning because we know that they really serve as a prophetic timetable of what's going to happen in these last days. And we believe that will be during the fall season when Messiah will return during the fall feasts. And so the fall feasts are really quite prophetic in terms of their meaning because there's a lot of the theme of what will happen at the time when the Messiah comes, you know, and just the whole issue of repentance and the blowing of the shofar and judgment and so forth. And so it's really a very important season. And it's traditional to read Psalms 27 every day during the month of Elul. And so the question, why does this psalm have such an important part in the spiritual preparation for the high holy days? I think we do have a PowerPoint that we wanted to show. But you know, there are three basic reasons. There are three basic reasons why Psalms 27 is emphasized during the month of Elul. The rabbis taught that all three fall feasts are referred to in this psalm. I think the next slide, it says, beginning with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" And so light refers to the feast of Yom Teruah or Rosh Hashanah. And why does light speak about this feast? Because repentance, which is the main theme of Yom Teruah, is what opens the door for light to enter our life. Returning to the Torah means brings light. And your word is a lamp, a Torah, your word, your Torah is a lamp to my feet and light to my path. And so repentance is the entrance into salvation. That's how we came to salvation, is through repentance, through acknowledging that Yeshua is our Messiah. He paid the penalty for our sin. And it's through repentance that we receive a renewed heart, in fact, a new heart. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent and be saved, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So God wants to bring refreshing into our life. And then secondly, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Salvation refers to Yom Kippur because it was on Yom Kippur that God provided atonement or salvation for our sins, and that we are saved from judgment and inscribed in the book of life. And then thirdly, the Feast of Sukkot is also alluded to in the words, "In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle." And so there's protection under the Sukkah of God's presence. And so, you know, these three feasts, you know, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, you know, Yom Kippur and the Feast of Sukkot are alluded to in Psalms 27, but there's a couple other reasons. We recite Psalms 27 every day during the month of Elul to remind us how important it is to seek God's presence. During these prophetic, you know, we're living in prophetic and very troubled times, and sometimes it's difficult to stay focused on those things that are most important in our life. And we become easily distracted and lose sight of what is most important. You know, King David was a mighty warrior. But he somehow was able to stay focused. For him, there's only one thing that was the main thing. And that was, "One thing I've desired of the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." One thing I've desired of the Lord more than anything else. So here's King David, this great mighty king, the greatest king that Israel ever had, other than Yeshua, of course. He always found time to be in God's presence. "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his presence." And so during the month of Elul, we're to ask God to search our hearts. And we're to seek his face with all of our heart and soul and strength, because David said in the psalm, "Seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek." But there's a third reason that expresses a sense of urgency, which is true of the 10 days of Yom HaShoah leading up to Yom Kippur. In verses 2 and 3, I'm not sure if maybe I'll just read that. It said, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, I will remain confident. So during the month of Elul, the shofar sounded every day as a warning to wake up and return to God in repentance. And with warning comes impending judgment. God calls Israel and the world to repent on Yom Teruah, when we'll be hearing thousands of shofars being blasted around the world in every time zone around the world. It's a worldwide call to repentance, especially at this time of the season. Right now, we're going to have a different fall season, unlike any other. But the day of the Lord is drawing near, the appointed time when Adonai will execute judgment on the earth. And that's really one of the messages of the fall feast, is he will bring judgment. In fact, in Joel 2, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the world tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So really, the shofars are sounded as a wake-up call, you know, to Israel and to the nations. So we see that this psalm has profound meaning, and it will take more than a month of meditating upon it and reading through this to draw out all the deep truths that are found in these words of King David. But the psalm ends with a good encouraging word. He says, I'm still confident of this. I'll see the goodness of the Lord while I'm here in the land of living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Because we know that the book of Revelation ends with the words, behold, I am coming quickly. So we need to be patient. And I had Melissa make up some bookmarks. So you want to pick up on these bookmarks. From Psalms 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So pick up one of these bookmarks on the back table. There's also a handout of Psalms 27, like we did with Psalms 91. And so you might want to pick one of those up. And I know that Jan shared this psalm with the seniors this past Thursday, but I really wanted to focus on Psalm 27 for the first part of my message. I encourage you to take some time over these next several weeks and just really read through Psalms 27, really pray through it, meditate upon it, and really see what the Lord shows you. But you know, the scriptures teach us that we reap what we sow. If we sow good seeds of repentance and forgiveness in our hearts during this season, we'll reap the fruit and the blessing of it. Even as Avi was reading from Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. There's tremendous blessing that comes when we obey. There's also consequences when we don't obey. And so sowing good seeds are seeds of obedience. But, you know, sadly, many of us will go through the motions of observing God's appointed times for another year. Hopefully this is not the case. But nothing much will change in our lives. God intends for the appointed times to change and transform us. But much of it depends upon the attitude of our heart. If we look upon them as more than just doing through readings in the holiday seder, but there's deeper meaning found in these feasts, as we know, for those of us who have been part of our congregation for many years, we know that there's a lot of deep truths found in these feasts. And every year, I'm discovering something new about these feasts. God really wants us to experience spiritual renewal. And revival comes with a price called self-denial. And many of God's people today are not prepared to pay such a heavy price. What did Yeshua say? One of the qualities or marks of a disciple, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So God longs to revive us and refresh his people, you know, from the spiritual dryness and the complacency and the lukewarmness, the lack of spiritual passion and zeal that often characterize our lives. He wants to repair broken relationships, wounded hearts, and restore unity in our community. And so every year, the shofar blasts are sounded on Yom Teruah and intended to be a wake-up call, to wake us up from our spiritual slumber. As Paul says in Ephesians 5, awake, you sleepy bride, you who sleep are in the dead, and Messiah will give you light. I'm reminded of the words in Acts 28. There's a psalm there, or there's a scripture there, a slide from Acts 28. And it was Paul was speaking to Israel. This was his heart, but I believe it also has a message for us as well. It says, go to the people and say, you keep on hearing, but you don't understand. You keep on seeing, but you do not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Doesn't this sound like, certainly that was the case with Israel as a people, but doesn't it sound in many ways like God's people today? When Yeshua was speaking to the seven congregations in the book of Revelation, he repeats the same words to all seven congregations. He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the Messianic community. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the Messianic community. You know, sometimes we hear the same word over and over again, but we don't listen or obey. Our ears are hard of hearing. The word of God sometimes falls on deaf ears. How many of us remember the message from last week? Jerry gave a strong message on commitment. Hello? Do you remember that word? God wants us to remember the words that we hear, because God does promise that his word does not return void. But we have to have hearts that are willing to respond to God's word. If we see with our spiritual eyes, if we hear with our ears, we will understand with our hearts. And the Lord promises that he will heal us. And sadly, many of our hearts have become distracted by the pleasures, the trials, and the pressures of this life. We're living in a very difficult age today. And many relationships have been damaged and still unresolved. You know, we kind of look at our lives, sometimes our life is not quite as exciting as it once was when we first believed. We've kind of lost some of that first love that we once experienced. And I'm sure that would be true for all of us, especially many of us who have been along this journey for many years. We kind of seem to have lost some of that zeal and that passion and that first love that we once experienced. You know, the case of Israel, you know, in Lamentations 5, 19 through 21, there's another scripture there. It really expresses the heart of God's people after their beloved temple was destroyed and how they were sent into exile among the nations. Maybe just turn to the next slide. And they said, the joy of the Lord, the joy of our heart has ceased. Our dancing has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Because of these things, our eyes have grown dim. But you, O Lord, remain forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us and forsake us for so long a time? And so they cried out, Lord, turn back to us, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. And I think that's really what our hearts are saying as well. Because this is a message for us. O Lord, turn my heart back to you so that I can be restored, you know, that you would renew my days as of old. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Create with me a clean heart. And renew me with a steadfast spirit. And so is this the cry of our hearts? Lord, I wish I had more passion and more zeal. I had a deeper hunger for God that I once had. I don't feel your presence in my life as I once did. The Lord wants to restore that in our hearts. And I believe that as we really have a heartfelt attitude during this season, that God gives us opportunity. I know that we can do that throughout the year, but there's something about doing it during this fall season when we're all doing it together as a community, because God wants to do something in our community, in our congregation. You know, the people of God, Israel, they understood that was in, you know, that it was because of their sin that they lost sight of what was most important in their life. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint and our eyes have grown dim. When we think of repentance, what is repentance? It means it's actually called teshuva, which means to return. Repentance is acknowledging and confessing for our sin, but then choosing not to sin anymore. When Yeshua confronted the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Woman, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." This is what true repentance is. The fruit of true repentance is a changed life, a choice not to go back and become entangled again in the sin that we are in. So the call to repentance is a theme of Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And unfortunately, this season will be different from any other that we've ever experienced because it will be overshadowed by the war in Israel. The whole year has gone through, all the feasts of the Lord have gone through this war. It's beginning last year with Simchat Torah, the end of the feast that we're going to be going through. An entire year of being faced with this war that Israel is experiencing. This past week was an amazing week for Israel. They came up with this incredibly ingenious plan of, exploding these communication devices in their pagers that the Hezbollah had. And they were surgically targeted just for Hezbollah pagers and many of them exploded. And sadly, many of them died and many of them were injured. But they're terrorists whose purpose is to destroy Israel, is to annihilate Israel. And I believe that this coming season, we are still in the midst of birth pangs that have not let up. And I believe that they will only increase as we draw closer to the coming of the Messiah. And the next slide is from Matthew 24, a scripture that we're all familiar with. "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is not yet." These are merely the beginning of birth pangs, the beginning of sorrows. So we're living in perilous times today. And so this should cause us to stop and reflect on our own lives. Rather than being complacent and indifferent, we need to wake up and realize how close we are to the coming of the Messiah. We're living a time of the end of the age when the powers of darkness are becoming a lot more aggressive. The spiritual powers of darkness are beginning to exercise greater power and influence and spread more darkness over the earth because the enemy knows that his time is short. This week's Sabbath of Comfort speaks to this. That was read, by Jerry. Let me just read the first couple of verses. Isaiah 60, 1-2, the next slide. "Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears to you." So the enemy is spreading his darkness over the earth. And one way is through the hatred of Israel and how he is using the spirit and principality of anti-Semitism to turn the nations against Israel. Israel is God's timepiece for the last days. And what happens to Israel will affect all the nations of the earth. That's how God designed his plan. Satan is the author of chaos, of spreading fear and confusion. And he is a master of deception. There's so much deception in the world today. That's why we need to be very discerning, because the enemy is like an angel of light who blinds the minds of the unbelieving, but sometimes he blinds the minds of the believing and deceives us into believing things that are not true. The scriptures say that we are children of light, And one day the kingdom of darkness will come to an end. And Satan will be bound, and the devil and his minions will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's their final destination. But Paul said in Romans 13, there's another important scripture here in Romans 13. Understand this present time, it is all the more urgent. For you know how late it is. Time is running out. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day of salvation will soon be here. The night is almost gone. The day is near. So let us put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. I like that. Put on the armor of light. Let's walk properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, but not in strife and envy. Instead, put on Lord Messiah Yeshua and stop making provision for the flesh. So God wants to put on the armor of light because we are children of light. And we're let our light shine in this world of darkness, because the darkness is getting darker, but the light is getting lighter. And the more of God's people, the more that we express our light and demonstrate our life, the more the darkness will be dispelled. See, God wants us to be, that we are involved in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. And, you know, that's why we don't have time to be at odds with each other. There's power and there's strength in unity. God wants us to be a community that is known by our love for one another. The month of Elul is a time for us to get our hearts right with God and with one another. I know there are some members in our congregation who need to make things right with others. This is the time of the year that I really focus on that. You know, but God really has given us a prophetic vision. He's given, for those of you who really feel that you want to be part of this community, we are part of a prophetic vision that is rooted in God's divine purpose and destiny for the nations. Israel has grafted us in together, Jew and Gentile together, that we have a purpose. We have a destiny to fulfill. We are on the cutting edge of what Adonai is doing. We should be privileged to be part of a movement that is very prophetic and very historic. So there's no time for us to be offended with each other, to be angry and be harsh and rude, as I shared a couple of weeks ago. Because when we are in disunity, then it affects our ability to really be strong. God wants our congregation to be in unity with one another. Now, when visitors come into our congregation, we want them to sense the love and unity that we have one for another. So they will experience Adonai's presence. My heart has always been that Beth Shekinah will be known as a house of glory, the house of God's divine presence. When people come in, they will say, this is my heart, what Jacob experienced when he had an encounter with the living God in Genesis 28. What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God and the very doorway into heaven. I really want people to, when they come in, each one of us, when we come in, we can sense God's presence is here. And I pray that our congregation will be known, you know, as a place where people can have an encounter with living God, where people can be healed, and where people can be set free. And so our vision is too important for us to be at odds with one another. I know that it's impossible to go through an entire year without offending someone or speaking words that hurt one another. Yeshua himself said in Luke 17, verse 1, it's impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. And next week, when we observe the Slichot service, I'll be speaking on the power of forgiveness and how forgiveness is a gift that Adonai has given to us to set us free from anger and from bitterness and from jealousy and from pride. And, you know, we need to really learn how to walk in the attitude of forgiveness. Don't be so easily offended by other people. Don't take up other people's offense. Learn to deal with the issues in your life. That's how we grow together as a community, when we learn how to love one another. You know, during the fall season, Joel 2, 12 to 13, I believe is another scripture there, is often quoted. Well, I think the next one. It says, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts, not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. I encourage you to, as I said a couple of weeks ago, take some time during this month, spend some time alone with God, do some prayer, do some fasting. You don't just have to fast on Yom Kippur. Take some time alone with God and ask him to really search your heart. Read through Psalms 27. Really seek his face and ask God to show you areas in your life that you need to make right with him. And if there are people that offended you in not only in Beth Shekinah, but in a husband or wife or a friend or a coworker or whoever, we have a responsibility to go and make things right. Because when we do, we feel a freedom. We feel a burden lifted from our hearts. We make things right with someone that we've been at odds with. See, when a person truly repents with all of his heart, he will experience spiritual renewal in his life. The joy and the peace of God will return, and the guilt and condemnation will be gone. The psalmist expressed this in Psalms 85, 6 and 7. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. Can you just pray this prayer with me? Just follow along with me in your heart. And just really pray that God would really, you know, give us this kind of a heart. Lord, I repent of my sin, my lack of passion, my complacency, my lack of love for one another, my hard, stubborn, and selfish heart. Revive me, O Lord, so that I might rejoice in you. Show me your mercy. Grant me your deliverance. Renew me again as in days of old, and restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, I pray that we pray that with a sincere heart, Lord God, and that you would really do a work in each one of our lives, God, because we truly want to be restored and renewed in our hearts. Lord, we want this coming season to be an amazing season where you can do some amazing things in our lives, and you're going to change and transform us, and you can restore relationships and bring healing to many of us who are struggling. So God, give us a heart and desire to really want to be serious with you. You know, there are many believers today who just choose to live a life of mediocrity, you know, drinking the milk of the word and never having a hunger or desire to go deeper. God wants us to go deeper in the things of the Spirit. He wants us to learn to eat the meat of the word, not just settle with the milk. He wants us to go deeper. You know, last week, you know, Jerry challenged us about the importance of commitment. You know, we need to learn how important commitment is. Commitment in our relationships with each other, in commitment in terms of our relationship with God, that we need to be men and women who keep our word and who are committed. You know, just as Sean was praying, some beautiful psalm, you know, beautiful word of God's covenant promises. God's committed to his covenant promises that he established with Abraham over 3,000 years ago. And God's still faithful to his covenant. It doesn't matter whether Israel is disobedient or rebellious. God still is able to work through all that disobedience and rebellion to bring his people to a place where they will really, truly be blessed by him. And God wants us to have that kind of a heart as well. You know, God has so much more for us. Don't settle for just getting by. Don't settle, well, I have my fire insurance, that's all I need. He wants to bless us, he wants to revive us, so we can become passionate and zealous for him. Isaiah 57:15, I think is the one there. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a lowly or humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God says he dwells with those who have a contrite heart. We must realize that we are absolutely nothing without Adonai. What did Yeshua say in John 15? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Yeshua is the giver of life, and our lives are completely in his hands. And he's looking for hearts that are contrite and humble. When we see God for who he really is, we will see how sinful we are. If we could only get a revelation of God's holiness, we would fall down on our faces and acknowledge that all of our righteousness are as a filthy rag in the sight of a holy God. God's word tells us that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God is looking for contrition. He says he will dwell with those of a contrite and lowly spirit, and he will revive the spirit and the heart of the contrite. You know, there's some quote, Leonard Ravenhill said, what we need now is a revival of holiness. A revival of prayer, a revival of people who are utterly selfless and prepared to lay their lives on the altar for God. That's, you know, Leonard Ravenhill was a famous intercessor, a famous man of God. He's written many books, and they really, he was a man that really walked with God. Charles Spurgeon said, we urgently need a revival of personal godliness. Sanctified men are the salt of the earth. Amen. And then a couple of scriptures, Isaiah 30, verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And this was a psalm that King David wrote. This expressed his heart. O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land. Thus I beheld you in the sanctuary, that I might see your power and your glory. One thing I've asked the Lord, that I might seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Believers today desperately need revival. I know that I do. I've been along this journey for many years, but I still feel like I'm just have so much more to experience with God. God has so much more for us to experience. Don't just settle for a second best. Just still settle by just getting by. Really desire to have a deeper hunger for God. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so the question is, will you, O Lord, turn me back to you so I will restore, renew my days as of old. Acts 3:19, I shared at the beginning. Repent, this is what Peter got up and shared on the day of, just after the day of Shavuot. When people were filled with the Spirit, he was filled with the Spirit, and people were crying out to God, what must we do to be saved? It is to repent, therefore, and be changed, that your sins may be washed away, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be changed, that your sins may be washed away, so that times and seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. God wants to refresh us. He wants to renew us during the season. So as we prepare ourselves for God's appointed times, he wants to bring us through seasons of refreshing and revival. Next Shabbat, we'll enter the season of forgiveness. I haven't quite got there, but that was how I wanted to end. But I'm not quite there yet. But as we prepare for God's appointed times, he wants to bring us through seasons of refresh and revival. And as I said, next Shabbat we'll be entering the season of forgiveness. We'll hear about the power of God's forgiveness during a slick close service. On Yom Teruah, we'll hear the blast of the trumpet as we enter the season of repentance and the 10 days of awe. And we'll hear the sound of the shofar to awaken us to a worldwide call to repentance, because that's what it is. God wants us to return to our first love. And on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Teruah, we also hear about the wonder of father's love, because the tradition would read the story of Abraham offering his son Isaac on the altar of sacrifice called the Acheda, the binding of Isaac. Then on Yom Kippur, we'll be reminded of the atoning work of our great high priest, Yeshua, who shed his blood on our behalf and redeemed us from the wrath of God and eternal death so that we can have our names inscribed in the book of life. I mean, it's a wonderful privilege that we made the most important decision of our life to repent of our sin, to believe in Yeshua, and our names are inscribed in the book of life. That's exciting to know that our names are there in the book of life. It will never be blotted out. Then on Sukkot, we will rejoice under the Sukkot's presence and drink of his living water. As we stand under the sukkah outside, and hopefully there will still be some leaves left on the trees for us to adorn our sukkah. So Adonai really wants to revive us, renew us. You know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah represents the beginning of a new season on the Jewish calendar when we enter in the year 5785. This means that we're entering into a new season as a congregation. What will God do through us in the coming year? Let us enter into this new season with anticipation of God, of what God wants to do and accomplish through our congregation and through each one of us. And so, you know, the years go by so quickly. We're entering into the new year, and before we know it, we'll be into the new year. And what does God have in store for our congregation in this coming year? We'll wait and see. But we can have a part in making things happen. Depends upon our heart attitude. So I wanted to end again with this the scripture from Lamentations. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. Turn us back to you, O Lord, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old. That's what God wants to do. He wants to renew us. He wants to revive us. He wants to refresh us. But we need to make that effort, that heartfelt attitude, to have the desire in our hearts to do that. We know that walking this journey is not easy. We face many challenges and difficulties and disappointments. But it's all part of what we have, God wants in our life, to build character, to build, to teach us trust, to teach us patience, you know, and teach us how to respond when we pray, we don't seem to get the answer to prayer. You know, God doesn't mean that God's not listening, but he has a reason why. And maybe there's something in our life that we need to make right before he'll answer that prayer. So, Father, we thank you, God, for this word. We thank you, God, that we can come together as your people. Lord, as we enter into this very important season, this month of Elul, month of preparation for these high holy days, Lord, this will not be a typical high holy day season, because, Lord, we're involved in this, Israel's involved with this war, and we're in the midst of birth pangs that we know that will only intensify as we get closer to coming the Messiah. Lord, we don't know what this year will be, what we'll be facing this coming year, but Lord, we know that you will always be with us. You've said even to the very end of the age. So Father, thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you that you are steadfast in your covenant promises, that you promise you'll never break your covenant with us. You're committed totally, 100%, to fulfilling your word in our life. So we thank you, God, for this promise you gave to us in your word, Lord. So help us to have the right heart attitude as we enter this important season. We just thank you, God, Lord, just teach us how to walk in obedience and experience all the blessings you have for us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. We just would like to also, as we begin the worship, just invite anyone to come forward for prayer. You know, this is a time that we really want to rededicate our hearts to the Lord. So if God's spoken to you in any way in the service, hopefully he has. Hopefully this word has not returned void. Hopefully this word has not fallen on deaf ears. You know, that God has spoken to you in some way, because each one of us hears something a little bit different. And so let the Spirit of God, he has ears to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Just open your heart and respond to his Spirit as he speaks to you. And just come forward, and we want to pray with you. In Yeshua's name, amen.